So it all began with our theme for the school year, Better Together. The whole idea that we become better by being together in Christ. And we were talking about the idea that God, whether it's our family of origin or whether it's a church family or a group of friends in our life or our families we're raising, that God created families to help each other do four things. So God's been speaking to us since September about this, that we've got to help each other, say it out loud with me, know Jesus, next one, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. And you and I are here today not just to together listen to some guy up front, but we're here today to kind of hear from God and then help each other experience these things. And then in October, Pastor Brandon led us in this great series about We Were Made for This. And it's this whole idea that God has done these, Ephesians 2:19, He's prepared us for good works that He prepared in advance of us even being born. And we heard about the call that, first of all, we have to remember that it's what Jesus did for us that sets everything up. We have to remember that we need to be filled with His Spirit and that we should have a heart for purity. So all those things have been going on, and God's really been speaking to us about that thing. And so we come to November, and you're not going to believe that the pastor is about to say this, but here's what we don't need. Most of us do not need a new sermon. We need a new step or a new commitment to what we already know and have heard. And can I get an amen? Amen. We got enough sermons, right? The thing we need is to find some new ways to start living them out. Because that's the power of what Jesus came to do. Not for us just to sit there and say, wow, that's a great thought. No, it's the idea that He speaks to me about where I am in life. And He says, you know, this word, you know this truth already. Live it out this way in what you are going through. And so that's the whole idea behind this No Excuse November, because you and I, we can look at life and we can be in church. We hear a lot of sermons, but where we are versus where we want to be, that's a little discouraging, right? Our life is pretty busy, and we tend to look at the promises of God like Mount Everest and say, these things are all possible in Christ, but I'm here. Oh, my word, I'm here. And you know what? I don't know like a tricky, kind of insightful, clever sermon's really going to help me, because the issue, Pastor Sean, is not me finding out something new. It's me just deciding to put one foot in front of the other today when I don't really feel like doing it. Amen. Right? And so there's some things we can look at when we're looking at life, and we're pretty busy, right? We're pretty overwhelmed with a lot of things, and we're kind of overwhelmed and under-motivated to do what we've got to do. And we look at things, and there's really three things we can look at, and none of them give us the ability to get past our paralysis or discouragement or defeat in life. We can look at our problems, look at them a little bit more. That's probably not going to help us. My wife Sarah and I were just talking about, you know, we live in this house, and all we're doing is seeing the things we need to fix, but we've kind of gotten to that point where it's like, you know what? I've got so much to do. I'm going to do nothing. That's my strategy. That's my strategy with everything that needs to get fixed in the house. I'm going to do nothing. All right? And we just kind of could feel that way. Or we could decide I'll escape and kind of look into TV fantasy land. And that's great, because all I do discover there is I've got all these things I should buy to make my life better. I literally saw on Amazon they're selling Aquanotes. It's a waterproof pad that you put in the shower so that you write down what you're too busy to remember anyplace else. Like, yeah, okay, I don't know about that, all right? And the world basically tells me if I look at the world's solutions enough, my problem is I need an unending source of money. And so that's not going to help me out. And here's the mistake a lot of us make. A lot of us decide that instead of looking at our problems more or looking at the world more, we're going to look at ourselves more. That's going to solve a bunch, isn't it? Right? That's going to solve a bunch. Because looking at me more is not going to solve anything. Right? That's not going to solve anything, because I know me pretty well. All right? And I've got some weaknesses, and I've got some I got a few issues in my life, and I'm tempted to tell myself, work harder. Look at yourself harder and work harder. And we're going to find out that today's scripture in Hebrews 12, that's not the answer either. So I'm going to invite you, we haven't done this in a while, would you stand in the honor of reading God's word, because his word is worth standing for and receiving. And I'm just going to read Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And I want you to think, wouldn't it be amazing if God came down from heaven in some physical way to you and just spoke right to you this morning? I mean, wouldn't that be crazy? Well, guess what? He's about to. So I want you to hear it. Get your heart ready. Here we go. Hebrews 12, just two verses. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, not looking to my problems, to the world, or to myself, but looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of my faith and our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, look at his life, remember what he did, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated now in victory at the right hand of the throne of God. Lord Jesus, we pray this morning that your word would now not just speak to our ears, but it would speak to our heart, and it would transform our lives by the power of your Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. I want you to read this out loud with me. This saying is something we're going to say all month long. Would you read it out loud with me right now? Because Jesus has eliminated every barrier, I am free to eliminate every excuse. My progress in God's promises begins today. And everybody said, amen. You know, we tend to want to work harder in ourselves, but what we really need to look to is not us. We need to look to Jesus, because he has done the work for us. He has already accomplished the victories that you and I need to. But we tend to get really trapped in self-pity, in self-motivation, in self-pride, in self-excuses. And we need to just bring all that to the cross and let that thing get crucified. Because what I need to do is I need to set my focus and my heart not on what I'm doing. And we'll talk about how God's going to make it practical. I mean, we're going to recognize what he's doing in us. But I need to focus on Jesus, because he's my answer. And so this month is all about this idea that let's stop making excuses for what we can't do, all right? Let's just start taking small steps, really small steps in what we can do. Because when we get overwhelmed with life and we're just so busy and we're just kind of maintaining semi-discouragement or depression, we're just kind of doing it, we don't have time, there's a lot of excuses there, and you and I tend to develop a life of explanations. Well, I can tell you why I'm not doing this. And well, I can tell you why I'm not doing that. Oh, let me give you this story about why this is this way in my life. Please, someone save me and you and everybody, okay? Look, explanations are not making it okay. They're not making us feel any better. And they're not helping anybody around us, right? No. Instead of explanations, how about we refocus on the expectations of what Jesus has done and can do in our life? All right? Turn to each other, say, he's right. Oh, come on, all of you, not just some of you. I saw it. No excuses. Cut out. All right. So here it is. So the whole message today is just this idea. Look, you and I, because of what Jesus has done, we can start today. We can absolutely start today. So this passage tells us four things that should just free us up to be able to start again, all right? To start in a new way. And instead of going one through four, I'm going four through one because the last one's the most important. But number four is this. We need to take a fresh look at what you have to be thankful for, all right? The scripture says, therefore, look around. You've got a great cloud of witnesses. You've got some stuff in your life that should remind you to be thankful. But somehow you and I have this allegiance to our problems that we feel like we're betraying our misery if we actually take time to look at what's good. Like, I can't do that. I need to focus on what's bad because it's really bad. It's like, it's still going to be really bad if you stop looking at it and look at some good stuff too. So don't worry. It'll still be there for you, okay? Now, we need to take a little time to choose to be thankful. And the scripture tells us that in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Why don't you read it with me out loud? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And God's not doing that because he's some sort of heavenly Oprah trying to get you to be, you know, positive vibes in your life. No, what he's really trying to do is he's trying to teach you how to follow him. And in a moment, I'm going to show you why it's so important. Jesus said it. But I want you to recognize that in 2 Corinthians 1:20, the Bible says that for all the promises of God find their yes for you and for me in Jesus. So, number one, if I know Jesus, every promise of God is yes for me. Yes for you, where you're at. Oh, I don't know, Pastor Sean, I feel like that climber looking at Mount Everest. That seems really far away from me. Okay, you know what? I hear you, but we can take one foot, go like this, and move it forward, take this other one, and take another step, and move forward. We can do that. Because God has this way of taking five loaves and two fish and doing a lot more than we were expecting with it. When we face impossible situations, we should take possible steps and let God do the rest. Because then we get to see who he really is, and so do a bunch of people around us too. Get to see how great he is. I love this biblical reality. I want you to hear this. Being thankful is not just a positive attitude. Here's a biblical fact. If you won't see what you have to be thankful for, you won't see God's answers that you're looking for. That is true. Jesus said it in Matthew 6. He said, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If I take this life, the eyes of my heart as well as the eyes, and all I'm doing is looking for what's wrong in life, I'm going to see what's wrong with life. But if I take the eyes of my heart and I keep them fixed on God and remember that he is faithful and every promise is yes in Jesus for me, and I'm looking that way and I'm recognizing what's there and what could be there, I'm going to find a lot more of his promises that are coming. I've got a friend, we're going to call him Jim, for sake of this time. And that's a picture of Jim. He's 35 years old. Has been an army recruiter for a really long time. Lives up north. Those are his two kids. And Jim is a two-time survivor of cancer. And it's been about 5 years. And that cancer survival also includes stem cell work. That was a difficult road. And last month he found out that the cancer's come back for a third time. And because of the extensiveness of his treatments, he has found out that what would be possible for his cure is not possible for him anymore. He's 35 years old. He's got two kids, right? And doctors have given him two choices. They've given him one option that has a 50% chance to give him 3 to 5 years. And then he's been given another option that he has a less than 20% chance to live through that may do more. And at this point, as we speak right now, Jim has decided that God's in control and that he's at this point seeing option one about, if I get 3 to 5 years to really raise my kids and get them ready for life, I think that's what God wants me to do. So I text him probably about once every week or so. I don't even know him that well, but I've kind of met through friends. I sent him a text, and I was saying, hey, I'm praying for you in that, and here's what Jim sent me back. Sean, thanks for the text, the prayer and encouragement. God's plans are perfect. Cancer is not a curse. It's a gift. Knowing that my brother's faith is growing and deepening brings me pure joy. Thanks for sharing. Keep in touch. That's what Jim told me, because he is convinced that God is good and that God is watching over him. And he's had a passion to see his family come to Christ for a long time. And they've been, they've got their story like ours. And he's seeing the attention he's getting and his faith shine in such a way. He's seeing his family come to Christ like never before. And he said, gift. That's him right now. No end of the story. Just started his new, fun, next round of chemo. But he's decided that his eye is going to be full of light because his call in the scriptures to give thanks in everything. Doesn't mean he's got to give thanks for it, but he's got to give thanks in it. And I want to ask you today, what habit of gratefulness could you commit to starting today? For this month, how about making a decision that, you know what, because Jesus has eliminated every barrier, I can really eliminate every excuse. And it doesn't deny that things are difficult, but I'm going to choose to keep my eye full of light so that as I see what good is there, I can also recognize what good God is opening up to me through eyes of faith. I don't know particularly what your call is. I think a lot of it for me in this month and what I do is we practice first 15 here, which is the idea that the first semi-conscious moments of my day I give to God. I just start with him no matter how busy I am. Everybody has 15 minutes, and I'm going to start recognizing God. So my cell phone is my alarm clock, and you know how that goes, because if you look up your, you know, you grab your cell phone right off the bat, you know what you're probably going to do, right? You know, flip to all these other things. Well, since that's my way, what I do is the first thing I do is that Bible app is open, and I read the Psalm of the day. And that's my way to have a habit of gratefulness right off the bat, to make sure that what I'm doing is I'm not starting with what I'm not grateful for, what's wrong with the world, what's broken. No, I'm choosing to build a habit that says I want to recognize that God is already good before I hear from anybody or anything, right? So I don't know what yours should be. Maybe if you're a big social media person, maybe you should, for the month of November, post something you're thankful for every day. That's the first thing you should do. Maybe you should post a verse, or maybe you should take some time to text someone differently every day this month to just remember who is with you for all those times you feel like no one's with you. And remember what God has done in your life through lots of people over the years. And instead of looking at right now and saying nobody's there, how about remembering all the people who have been there? I want to encourage you to do that. On the website, and you'll see in the sermon notes, it's cornerstone.ag/no excuse. There's actually a list of possibilities. And I want to encourage you by the end of today, okay? By the end of today, to choose something for every question that I'm going to ask you today. You're already thinking of some right now, and say, this is my decision. I'm going to encourage you to make your decision public, to make sure people know that you've decided this is what I'm just eliminating these excuses. I want to go for it. And so you could do that today. I think another one for me is around family, watching my wife do so much and thinking, making sure I am reflecting that I'm thankful for all she's doing in the middle of all we're managing together. And so I don't know what your thankful habit should be, but I want to encourage you to make one and to start today. Good? Oh, Pastor Sean, you just asked me to actually do something. I don't know. I was enjoying the sermon up to that point. Now I got, okay. No, yeah, come on. All right, number 3, lay aside the lie Someone say amen at the end of this. Say aside, lay aside the lie that your past is you or your future. Right? Let's lay that aside, because the scripture says that once I look at the cloud of witnesses around me, that the second thing I should do is I should lay aside every weight and sin. Now, sin's kind of obvious. I probably shouldn't do that. And I want to encourage you that most of your sins that you're struggling with are the results of what? Habits, right? Researchers say that 50% of what you do during your waking hours is just habit. You're not thinking about it. You're not planning for it. You're just living out a habit. And most of our sins are about the habits that we're living in. And I want to encourage you, by the end of this message, I'm going to talk about looking at your habits in a minute. But if you want to lay aside sin, you've got to look at those habits, because they're either the sin or the habit is what's setting you up for the sin. And if you look at that, God will do something pretty special. The second is weight, okay? And this one's a little bit like, what does that mean? Well, the word that Paul uses, it's the only place he ever uses in the New Testament, and it's what we think. It's the burdens that prevent us from moving forward. So we start to think, I want to do this, but then something happens, or some weight in us, that when we start to move, we just feel tired right off the bat. We all of a sudden feel it's just hard. It's definitely this picture. I'm trying to get to the top of Everest, but this is what I got on me. Because here's the mistake you and I make. You and I tend to try to say yes to the things of God while still saying yes to our control and our attitudes and our, I'm not changing that, right? And so we try to do what God wants us to do, but we've got all this weight on us while we're trying to do it. And the scripture says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Like, why am I trying to do the things God's asking me to do, but not experiencing the freedom that Jesus is offering me to do it in? And so I was praying through this, and I think in the end, the weight that you and I feel the most, and I'll show you why I think it's in the scripture, are fears and failures of what? The past. I think a lot of the reasons why you and I struggle to move forward is because we're kind of disappointed about how it hasn't worked out. So in other words, we had some expectations that my life was going to look this way and that by now I'd be here. And anytime God starts speaking to us and we decide to start moving again, the enemy just ever so slightly gets us looking at our disappointments in life. And all of a sudden, we start off like, yeah, I'm going to do this. And we're like, yeah, maybe not. Because there's this weight that's on us. And I want to encourage you to let the Spirit of God speak to you this morning, because there's some things in your heart that God wants to move you forward on, but the enemy's got you looking in the past and defining you by your past, okay? And what's happening is it's this weight, and I don't know if it's sin necessarily, it's just this weight. And every time you start going like this, the enemy says, yeah, that sure is great, thought you'd do that 10 years ago. Yeah, that's great. Should have already done that with your kids. Yeah, that's it's all of a sudden, it's like, it's this weight. And so we go, yeah, that's right. And we just stop. And I want you to hear that you and I, we're in a spiritual war. There is an enemy, and he's a deceiver. And he whispers these little things, and he gets us focusing on our disappointments in life. And it becomes this weight not to do anything today just because we didn't do it yesterday. But here's the beautiful thing about God's grace. If you'll say yes today, I can't explain to you, but somehow it all lines up just fine. It just lines up all fine. A matter of fact, it lines up more beautiful than you could ever have imagined. It's going to exceed your expectations, regardless of the route to get there. In this scripture, notice what it says. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of what? Our faith. I'm not the founder and perfecter of my faith. I'm not it. It's Jesus. That's why I've got to spend more time looking at him, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross. I've got an example of someone who endured. Just because he was God on earth as fully man and sinless, he had to deal with pain. And he despised the shame and is seated now in victory. In the first verse, it's about lay aside every weight. Then we get this model of Jesus doing the same thing. Because we tend to feel like, wow, I'm kind of embarrassed to go to church again. I'm kind of embarrassed to show up to that recovery group again after I didn't. I know I need to now, but, you know, I'm a little embarrassed. I'm a little ashamed that I'm coming back. And what if people ask me, where am I? Or, you know, where have I been? What am I going to tell them? Right? I mean, that happens to all of us, doesn't it? It's all of a sudden, we've got this weight that's telling us, you should be ashamed if you tried it again. You should have tried that before. It's this weight that keeps us from going. And look, today, in Christ, his mercies are what? New every morning. Like, this is the day of salvation. We can start today, regardless of what happened yesterday. And I want to encourage you, what failed habit or commitment for God can you return to today? Why just because it didn't work yesterday, can you not say yes to it today? I don't know if I can do that. I mean, shouldn't I punish myself more for not doing it up to this point? No. No, you shouldn't. It's not helping anybody for you to be the person who's just deciding, that was really wrong, I'm going to beat myself up a little bit more. Why can't you just start again today? Yeah, but I did. I know that was yesterday, but why today? Why can't you just start again? Why can't you realize that his mercies are new every morning? And I'm talking to me too, you know? And so in our house, this one is probably more about the house a little bit for us. Like, yeah, I got to pick that back up. I've not looked at that in a long time. Budget, tracking, making some changes financially. Like, for me, that's a lot of where this is. Like, I need to get back to that. But every time I get to it, I'm like, this is such a mess. Why did I let it get this bad? You know what I mean? Right? It's like, well, okay. So still start today anyway. So what's yours? Where's that parenting spot where it's like, you know, I always wish I would have with my kids or, you know, and I've got a few of mine for my family. It's like, all right, start today. All right? We can start today. All right? Let's read out loud again. Because Jesus has eliminated every barrier, I am free to eliminate every excuse. My progress in God's promises begin today. Let's look at number two. The scripture says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Someone should just feel like, yes, I've been waiting for someone to tell me this, but please, let's stop comparing ourselves to other people, right? Hey, your race is your race. It ain't their race, all right? I know it all looks nice on Facebook and stuff. Yeah, it ain't that nice. Just run your race. Run your race. Your race may go through more valleys or take longer up a hill. Well, praise God. God's got a reason for that. There are people in those valleys. Maybe everybody else is rushing by them, and you're the only one who understands them. Man, your race is your race. Just run it. It's a good one. God's going to make it all beautiful in his time. And the truth is, I can't get to greater days ahead and live in comparison. All right? It's just not possible. Now, you've heard me tell this story. Here's my favorite run your race story. You remember this guy? This guy's name is Cliff Young, all right? You've probably not heard of the Westfield Ultra Marathon, 543 miles. All right, this was like the ultra marathon in the 1980s. And in 1983, this guy, Cliff Young, he was a potato farmer in Australia. He had a 2,000-acre farm. And he never had a coach, a trainer, or any special equipment to learn how to run. But what he did was he chased his sheep around a 2,000-acre farm for all his life and decided in 1983, at the age of 61, that he wanted to try an ultramarathon. All right? He showed up in rubber rain boots and torn overalls because he thought it might rain while he was running. And while runners stretched in their Nike and their Adidas running gear, people laughed at Cliff Young, considering him a joke. He insisted he was going to run the race, but within hours of the start of the race, he was already miles behind the lead pack. but he just kept going. All he did was run his race. Literally, all he did was run his race for at least 23 hours every day. When every other runner stopped for their normal 6-hour recovery time, Cliff just kept running. The reports vary, but everybody agrees if he slept at all, it was less than an hour a day. No one had ever done that. Someone different was doing something very different. All he did was run his race, and over 5 days, 5 days later, the joke was on everyone else because that 61-year-old potato farmer finished first and broke the record by 2 days. All right? When asked what his secret to his victory was, he said, "Well, love, I just didn't stop." He didn't stop to compare himself. He didn't stop to look at his past and whether he had done everything everybody else done for this race. He didn't stop to just focus on everything that was bad in the past. He just didn't stop and said, "I've got a race to run, and I'd like to run it." You can't make a difference if you're not different, so be thankful your race is different, because that's how you're going to change some people's lives. And so here's my question for you today. What habit of comparison can you please stop doing or change to start and start it today? All right? Let's get off of Insta-guilt, Failbook, and Smack Chat. All right? Let's stop that just for a little bit. All right? Because that's what we get when we're watching everybody's Insta stories. And that's we feel like a failure when we're looking at all the Facebook stuff and we're getting smacked around on Snapchat, okay? How about let's just change a little of that? And if you can't totally get off of it, how about you, like, take it down a level for a little bit? And just say, that's their race. If I'll take some time, and you notice, too, we're on social media, we're looking for something good. Well, why don't we just look in our own life for something good? Why don't we just talk to the people around us and be fascinated that that story is going on around us right now? And that story is a miracle. I don't need to go find it on social media someplace else where it's like, oh, isn't that awesome? No, you've got some awesome right around you. You just got to take some time to look for it. Take some time to have eyes of faith and keep these eyes full of light. All right, I'm really asking you to actually do this, right? Really take some time. What's my habit of gratefulness? What's that commitment I need to return to? Well, what's everybody going to say? I think they're going to say, it's great to see you. Like, it's nice to see you. How about that? And then how about this habit of let's choose some things not to compare everybody with, whether it's any category of life. And then number one on the list, the top of the list, it says looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. And then it talks about endurance. And it talks about despising shame. He's not talking about give a little thought to Jesus. And a lot of us, we think about Jesus a lot. But what we need to start doing is committing to Jesus. Yeah, right? Someone, yes? Yes? Like, make a commitment. And that's what No Excuse November is all about. I'm going to actually make some commitments, right? I'm not going to think, I really wish my kids were this or my family, or I wish financially I was here, but that's like, what's the point of starting? That would take me 5 years. Yeah, it will take you 5 years. Start today. All right? Why not? Why not just start? Okay? Why don't I make a commitment, especially to looking at Jesus? And again, on the website, we've got all sorts of ideas there. I'm reading this book, A Heart for God, by Sinclair Ferguson. You're going to hear it in a sermon series coming up in January on worship. It says this: when you look at the cross, what do you see? You see God's awesome faithfulness. Nothing, not even the instinct to spare his own son, will turn him back from keeping his word and his promises to who? You. Keep looking at that cross. Look at that cross and remember what it means. It means that what God promised you, he'd even give his own son
to make sure you have. Keep looking at the cross. But I got all these other things to look at. Yeah, I know. Make a habit. Make a habit to look at that cross every day. Remember, some of us in August, we were here when Pastor Brandon and Hannah taught us how to pray through the tabernacle. And remember, what do? We get to the altar, the second thing. We give thanks first. And what's the second thing we do? We remember the sacrifice at the cross. We pray that every day. All right? Let me be thankful for that. So here's the question. What a habit, maybe my habit will be to learn better grammar. What a habit that keep you looking to the cross can you commit to today? All right? What's that habit you should do? You know, if you joined the Bible Project, which you go out to the guest center and find out about, between now and the end of November, you would read 10 books of the Bible. And guess what? They would be explained to you. You would actually know what you're reading. Because we're in the New Testament, you get things like Philemon and Jude, like they're short and sweet, and you nailed it, okay? Like, you could do that. And every day, spend a little time focusing on what? Yourself? Don't think that's the answer. I think the answer is the one who's already eliminated every barrier for you. And so I'm praying that you'll do that. Next slide, please. There we go. This is part of what is on the website on the cornerstone.ag/no excuses. You could spend your first 15 minutes of each day in prayer with God. Just 5 minutes, just once. If you're like, I don't know how much I can read, maybe just track with the psalm we're reading every day. That's just someone talking about the tensions of life to God. Read along with the Bible Project. Attend worship service every Sunday. Why not in November, on the season of Thanksgiving, say, every week I'm going to remember to come, and regardless how this world has spun me around and tied me in knots, I'm going to come to church on Sunday. I'm just going to worship. I'm just going to say thank you. I'm going to remember that God is good. Hey, lead a family devotion around the table. You could email us. We'll give you some ideas for that. Talk to the kids ministry. We've got water baptism at the end of this month. And for some of us, that's the step. It's just like, you know what? I need to make a commitment that I'm just saying goodbye to the old, washed away from the new, and starting again. I want to encourage you. Those are all things you could do. So in a moment, we're going to take communion. But before we do that, as we're better together, can you get me back on track, please? I want to talk about the issue of habits. I'm reading this book right now, The Coaching Habit, by Michael Stanner. And he says in the book that if you really want a new habit in your life, and guess what? This is not us not being spiritual. Like, we could actually think about some things and let the Spirit of God show us these things. But if you want to think about starting a new habit and you want it to be successful, there's 5 things, and really there's a 6th, he says. He never labels it, and I label it there. But to successfully have a new habit in your life, you need to figure out your reason for the new habit, okay? You need to figure out the trigger of the old habit. You need a micro habit. When you get to that trigger, you need to do something really short and sweet right off the bat to move you in the right direction. You need clear steps. This is what I want to do. So that's why we're giving you that list. And then you need a recovery plan, because at some point you're going to botch it up, like I botch it up, and you're going to not decide to throw it all away. Say, no, I got a recovery plan. This is how I'll start again. Okay? So just real quick, you need a reason. You know what in the world of coaching and psychology and professional, you know what they have concluded is the most successful reason for a new habit? To serve someone else. That's secular society has figured that out. Okay? And so I want you know, whether it's to get in a little better shape because of just taking care of your health or financial management or taking time in the Word, maybe think about all the other people that would help. Because you are not on an island. You are in connection with people that God loves passionately. And you should, you know, if you had something, if God was doing something new, it'd be connected to everybody else. So whether it's, I want to be around to play with the grandkids, or, you know, or if it's the issue of, I'd like to have a better attitude as I get into work, because there's some people I appreciate. I know I'm not helping them out too much right now. I don't know what your thing is, but why don't you ask Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to speak to you about a reason that doesn't have to do with you, right? It's like, I think I should do this, and don't try to fix people with what you're doing, but just like, God, use this for other, and maybe you could pray that every day. God, would you use what I'm doing in my life to be a blessing? I was talking with someone who's had a really hard past and they're a tough spot, and we're talking about living in grace because they tend to just look at themselves and work harder. And I said this. I said, look, you can't give what you don't have. If you don't live in grace, how are you going to give grace to anybody else? So think about somebody else. Okay, the trigger. This is really important. Okay, we're about everybody. You're already glued to me, but I just want you to hear this. The holidays are coming. Understand your trigger. Understand what it means to you. And don't wait. Don't just keep your fingers crossed and hoping that the holidays won't trigger what the holidays have triggered every year for the past few years in your life. Is everybody hearing me? All right, this is really, really important. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you what's triggering you that gets you in a little bit of a downward spiral. Sometimes it's the anniversary of something. It's the birthday of somebody. All right, it's that time. This is the time when this happened to me. Know your trigger. Think about it, okay? And when you find that, then let Jesus begin to speak to you, all right? If you're struggling with different addiction issues, nighttime is usually a trigger. Being alone at night is a trigger. Know that. Know that, okay? He said it in the book that there are usually five things that a trigger is based on, and I hope I wrote them down. A person, a feeling, a location, a preceding action, and a time. I'll say it again. A person I run into, that's their trigger. A feeling I have at a certain time. A location, when I go there. A preceding action, once this happens, I feel like this. All right? Or a time. And I just, pastorally, right now, I really, this is an important moment, recognize what's coming. Okay? There's some triggers coming. And one of the things that we're offering, if you'll find out what we're offering, grief share coming up for the holidays, because the holidays are a trigger for some hard things in our life. And so, Carrie and Ann, where are you at? I know you're here. Carrie, Ann? He pray with me. Must be in second service. But like Carrie and Ann and Lena, they've lost a child, and they understand what that means in the holidays. And if that's part of you, recognize that trigger and find the commitment to work with it. Now, what they say with the micro habit is, when you get to your trigger, you need something that you can do in less than 60 seconds. That's different than what you're always doing. So in that moment, whether it's a Bible verse to memorize, a person to call, a choice to go from this app to that app, what's your trigger, and what am I going to do immediately? You want to think about this. You don't want to hope so here. Well, that doesn't seem very spiritual. I'm telling you, it's totally spiritual. The Holy Spirit will use that to say, I'm going to go this way, not this way. All right? What are the steps? Let's be clear about what I want to commit to. I'm going to read. But I'm already feeling the pressure. Jesus already eliminated all the barriers. Just walk in it. And then the last one there, a recovery plan. Because someday the kids are going to do this, or work happens this way, or you get this phone call, or you wake up sick, or I don't know what it is. Like, there's a day it's not going to happen. Don't chuck it in the toilet then. If this happens, then the next day, I'm just going to start here, okay? I can't tell you how many people with the Bible Project, I told everybody, I said, don't try to, if you miss a day, just read the next day. I have to read the whole thing. I'm still on Exodus 2. All right, dude, we're like halfway through the New Testament. Why do you insist on trudging through Leviticus? Just come to 1 Corinthians and enjoy freedom, all right? Like, why you got to go there? That's your recovery plan. Just start where we're at. And then the last thing is support. You just need someone to support you. That's why I would encourage you, not as pressure, not as performance. I literally, if you're a big soldier, I would encourage you by the end of today, will you post your four commitments? Don't make it all like, you know, the world, like, I'm going to suck it up and do this. And it's just, hey, man, I just heard a great word about what Jesus is doing. I'm believing these. I'm going to do this, 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 and this. Ask me about it when you see me. All right? And then just have a recovery plan. It's like, you know, you didn't do that. How's that going? I am living in the grace of Jesus today. Thank you very much. That's all you say. Move on. It's been great. Okay. We're going to do communion, remember Christ. I want to invite you. If you're like touching Christianity, it's awesome. And you are welcome to just kind of figure it out. But you really should make a decision for Jesus. Because you're really not gonna get any place until you make a commitment. And he's already committed to you on the cross. Why not commit to him? He's already given everything for you. I want to encourage you to make it public. And then we've got a no excuse sticker for you as you leave today. And I want to encourage you, slap that bad boy someplace where you're going to see it all the time. If you're particularly vain, slap it right on your forehead for every mirror that you go, okay? John chapter 5. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. Someone was laying near this pool in Jerusalem who had been an invalid, couldn't walk, for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, Jesus asked him, "Do you want to get well?" Jesus does not ask him, "Why aren't you well? Why haven't you gotten better? Why isn't it working?" No, he just says, "Do you want to get well?" And the man says, "Sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." He's not even answering the question. The question was, "Do you want to get well?" He's answering, "This is why I'm not well." And Jesus says, "Hey, why don't you just get up, pick up your mat, and walk?" And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was, guess what? Today. Because you're at the day of worship. And you know what? Maybe Jesus doing this because he's like, "Come on, soldier, get up, do it." Is he doing that? Or he's like, or does Jesus already know? "I already know what I did for you. It's already done. Why don't you get on up?" So I want to encourage you. This is our time to decide we can start today. All right? Let's take what we've heard over these past few weeks, these past months, let's live it out. Let's become better together. Let's encourage one another. Encourage one another and what's going on. And so I'm going to invite you to stand. And as we're doing that, if the ushers would come forward, they're going to distribute communion. Would you hold on to it? Because we're about to remember a cloud of witness. We're about to remember what Jesus did. We're not going to look at us. We're going to look at Jesus. And as we do that, Pastor Brian's going to lead us in a moment of worship. So would you just, everything within you, tell everything in you, look at Jesus right now. Pastor Brian, would you lead us?